Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we apologize for the absence, but we've had some technical difficulties as I, Tyler, am starting a new job. I'm up here in Morgantown, West Virginia, on campus at West Virginia University. It's kind of funny because I share similarities with one said Will Greer, both ex-Gators that are in West Virginia, in Morgantown, working at the at West Virginia University. But yeah, no, I'm here. I'm here for 6 weeks. So for the next, 5 weeks now. So for the next 5 weeks, I will be recording from Morgantown, West Virginia, while Tyler is in where, Tyler?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
Duval?
My hometown. Duval.
Yep.
You know, the greatest county on earth.
Okay, let's calm down there. Okay.
Sergio, real quick, is there any are you forced to be reminded of Will Greer at any points other than just knowing that he's there?
So one thing that I learned,
or
very
are there
quickly,
any like tangible reminders?
One thing I learned very quickly when I got here is that West Virginia University is separated into basically two campuses. You kind of have the main campus, and then you have like a separate smaller campus. But that smaller campus is where their basketball arena is, and I'm working inside of the theater department at West Virginia University doing my show. So the arena is in front of the, like the, what we would call the School of Theater and Dance at UF, but I don't know the name of it here at West Virginia University. But I have to park in the parking lot for the basketball arena. And they have a beautiful, a lovely, and outstandingly detailed Jumbotron, you know, that they advertise things and they put graphics on there and stuff. And I'm forced to look at a picture every single morning when I park my car of Will Greer in uniform saying, "Hey, students, renew your season tickets." So, yes, Tyler, every single morning on my way to work, I die a little bit inside looking at Will Greer in a West Virginia University uniform. So, yes.
I'm glad to know that that's the case.
Yeah. You may be glad because you know how much you like to see me suffer, but I am not too thrilled. Speaking of which, Will Greer mentioned of the episode, I subscribed to The Athletic today, and I was looking at stuff, and their Big 12 preview is headlined by West Virginia University and saying that Will Greer is actually the Heisman frontrunner. Did you see that?
I did. I did see that.
It's crazy. I mean, it's not crazy because if you were at the Ole Miss game, which was the highlight of my UF career, then you would know he is all of that and more. But enough Will Greer talk, enough of that. I'm very happy here in West Virginia. I'm excited for the next 5 weeks. I'm doing a couple great pieces of art, doing some great theater. We're here to talk about sports. We're here to talk about sports, Tyler. Let's go ahead and go through the rundown. We already mentioned Will Greer. So in the last episode, we talked about how Joe Burrow had decided to
transfer
out of Ohio State. Tyler, give us an update. Has he made a decision? Where is he gone? I know the answers, but I love suspense. So let's go ahead and tell our listeners what happened with that.
Yes. So originally it was Nebraska, and he ended up picking none of those schools. It came down to LSU and Cincinnati.
Wow.
Cincinnati, because he knows Luke Fickell, the head coach, and he would be on a fast track to playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU, because, you know, LSU, just like Florida, always needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
So he ended up deciding to go with the Cats, but not the Bearcats, the Tigers, mm-hmm. LSU Tigers.
Wow, very punny there.
Yes, I'm witty. So it has been reported that he has decided to transfer to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. So Joe Burrow will be in Gainesville on October 10th.
Hopefully, I will also be in Gainesville on October 10th. But that's an interesting decision. Maybe because I'm a biased Gator fan, but I just don't agree with that decision. I mean, if you look at LSU's track record of developing quarterbacks, and whether they want to admit it or not, every player in college football wants to make it to the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't understand why someone would choose to go to LSU to play under Ed Orgeron, who does not have a track record of developing quarterbacks, nonetheless at LSU, rather than going to Florida to play under Dan Mullen, which was a rumored option and stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things that factor into that. From what I've heard, Dan Mullen didn't really pursue Joe Burrow. He preferred to stick with what he had and just try and work and build the confidence of the players on the roster.
Okay.
If you look at Dan Mullen's track record, he doesn't like to bring in transfers that much. He likes to work with what he has. I think it might be because he thinks that bringing in transfers will kind of buck the confidence of the quarterbacks that he already has.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger thing that I would say is, well, you got to think that, I mean, if you're just any player, these things that, oh, LSU hasn't, you know, developed quarterback in decade, and Florida hasn't had a good quarterback in decade. Well, players don't believe, every player believes that they're the one who's going to change that.
Right. If you don't have the mentality that you're going to be the person to go in there and make the change, then you're just not cut out for the sport, you know? You have to have that sense of confidence.
Yeah, and that's what I think happens here. I do think that if he's looking for playing time, LSU is a place where he could go. I already think that he is probably he's probably the front runner for the job, even though I don't understand wanting to play for Ed Orgeron.
I don't either.
I think it's not a good fit.
Not only scheme-wise, I don't think it's a good fit, but, like, I don't want to be talked to like this at every practice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to worry about my coach's throat cancer health, you know? That's a concern.
I would need it.
I don't want, you know?
But, I mean, I've not been shy about this, that I don't think LSU is going to be very good this year. I went on Twitter and said that I don't think they're going to make a bowl.
Let's hold that for when we do our SEC preview later on this summer.
True.
Let's hold that. So any last things on Joe Burrow before we move on to some news that broke today that I think is a little bit more interesting in our quick hits before we go into our main stuff today?
Well, I just think that it's certainly one of the more intriguing options, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was the option that seemed to have the least fit. And while that is kind of disappointing, it's also very, very intriguing. So I'm interested to see how it works. And I'll get to see him up close. So,
All right, cool. Wonderful. Hopefully, because I hope to be at that game.
Yes, hopefully.
Speaking of football games that I want to be at, today there was news broke that the University of Florida and the University of South Florida have announced a home and home series where Florida will play, USF will go to Gainesville in 2022, Florida will go to Tampa in 2023, and then USF will come back to Gainesville in 2025, which is very interesting because what we're looking at here is, for the first time, we have group of five teams scheduling long-term out-of-conference games. And by long-term, meaning not just 1 year or not even just a home and home, which is typically what happens, but three games and giving the extra home game to the Power Five team. This is cool on multiple levels. On that level, I like what you wrote in our notes, which is our group of five teams doing two for ones to secure better Power Five opponents. Because the whole big thing is that a team like UCF, last year, you didn't play anybody, you know? This year, if FAU goes undefeated, they will have a win against UCF, which is arguably the best group of five school, and they will have a win against Oklahoma on the road in the first game of the season. You know, that kind of weight is very important when it comes to battling for a playoff position and trying to convince the committee and say, hey, look, I understand that we don't face the competition that other schools face, but we went out of our way to try to do it. And when it happened, we showed up and we delivered, you know?
Yeah, so I think that the reason I put that in there is that it comes from the whole UCF thing. Everybody comes back to, well, nobody, you didn't play anybody. But UCF has, for a long time, been at least an upper echelon group of five team. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to schedule them. But the thing is, when you get with, I think what these group of five teams are doing, and USF is kind of, I think, pioneering this, is that when you offer to give the Power Five team two home games, and you get the one home game, then it's kind of too good for the Power Five team to pass up if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Because it is a lower level opponent, but it is a good lower level opponent, especially for the upper echelon kind of teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter for the group of five team whether the game is played away or home. It's that they play them.
Exactly.
If they beat them, it's going to be just as good they beat them at home as they beat them away.
And honestly, if they beat them away, it looks better. If USF comes into the swamp and wins a game on the road in the swamp, that does marvels for their resume, you know? If FAU goes to Oklahoma and wins a game in Norman, that's huge. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
And honestly, let's flip it over to the Florida side, to the Power Five side. I think it's great because what it does is, for the longest time, we pretty much have three non-conference games that we play a year. I'm not counting FSU. Yes, it's non-conference, but it's a group. It's a Power Five non-conference, and it's rivalry. You know, like, it's a different story. Basically, we have the ability to schedule three non-conference games a year. So usually, their teams like Presbyterian, Citadel, Wagner, like these small schools that are just basically cupcake weeks for us. You know, mm-hmm. I like the fact that we're taking one of those slots at least and scheduling stronger opponents. It's saying we're not afraid. We will not back down. You know, it's the nobody wanted to schedule North Dakota State when Carson Wentz was there, because Carson Wentz is going to throw all over your secondary. You know, like, yeah. I feel like it gives us more credibility. And on another layer to this, I saw your tweet today. Could this be the beginning of a rivalry?
I mean, I think it might, because USF and Florida have only ever played once.
Mm-hmm.
And USF is assuming that it's at this point still in the trajectory that it is at, mm-hmm. where it's very up. It's one of the better programs in the Group of Five.
Exactly.
And in the AAC in general.
Mm-hmm. This is like playing Boise State. This is like playing UCF at its height. This is like playing Houston that one year that they exploded, you know? This is a good quality Group of Five team, you know? Or FAU this coming year and last year, you know?
Yeah, I think that I've always kind of been a fan that I really like it when in state teams that are in the same state play each other, even if they're not in the same conference. Mm-hmm. But not even just, you know, the Florida State Florida or the Florida State Miami Florida Miami. It's like the lower level teams. It's kind of like how in basketball, I kind of really like, it's more accessible in basketball, but I want Florida to play all the Florida teams.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's a way to get around the state. It's like you have all these teams in your state and you have all these games that you can schedule. Why don't you just play these teams?
Right,
and
it's bragging rights.
Teams want national exposure,
mm-hmm.
but I really like this because it just fits a really good niche.
Yeah, and I think it works. At least, also, we have to remember that we're in the bubble of the state of Florida. You're from Jacksonville. I'm from South Florida. We grew up with us, California and Texas are the football states in this country, and we grew up with that. Watching Saturday every set, I watched countless UM games. I watched countless FSU, countless UF games. I watched them all. I went to FAU games. I saw FIU. I saw them all. You know, it would be nice to have kind of like I'm gonna take this analogy and I'm gonna use something that they use in MLS in soccer. They call it the Cascadia Cup, which is teams of Portland, Vancouver, and Seattle. Those three teams play each other each year, and what happens is the fans created a trophy for whoever has the most points between those games at the end of the year keeps the trophy. They win the Cascadia Cup, you know, because Cascadia the area. Wouldn't it be cool if we had, like, if every year we played FSU and Miami, for sure, and then we played maybe, like, UCF, USF, or FAU, you know, FIU. We would play these teams on, like, a rotating schedule where all of our out-of-conference would just be in the state of Florida. And then that way it creates kind of like a Florida league or whatever, and you get bragging rights. And that's huge on the recruiting trail, especially in the state of Florida, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I don't think that's something that's ever truly attainable.
I don't think so either.
Unless you were to expand the games, because that's part of the reason I don't think the Florida-Miami rivalry will ever really, like, truly come back on, mm-hmm. like, a yearly basis.
Right.
Because that would leave us with only two non-conference games to work with.
Yeah.
And you can't really get creative that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be fun. I wish in, like, in a world where college football had 16 games like the NFL,
mm-hmm.
I would want that all day. And it would grant, like, credibility to when teams claim, like, state championships. A couple of years ago, Florida State played USF, Miami, and Florida, and they beat all three of them, and they claimed a state championship.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that a lot of people like that is because, as Florida, we only played Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only Florida team we played. So it was, and they swept them, and of course, but it's one of those things that if that were to exist, I think that would be a really cool thing. I agree. And I feel like it's just kind of a pipe dream that you would want, like, each state to have their own, you know, college football, like, cup within the state.
Right.
Especially in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
good. That'd be really cool.
That was a good conversation. I like that. I saw that news today and I was very happy.
Me too.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the meat potatoes of our episode today. Today we're talking NBA and NHL playoffs. Let's go ahead and start with the NBA because I feel like it's still ongoing. And there's pretty much only a couple things to talk about in the NHL. So let's go ahead and get the NBA stuff out of the way first. So basically, we got two series. We have the Celtics and the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series is tied 2-2. And then we also have the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. And that series is 2-1 to the Warriors at the time of recording. Now, we are recording on a Tuesday night. It's currently 8:55. Game 4 is supposed to tip off in like 5 to 10 minutes. So we're just going to go under the prefix of we don't know what Game 4 is happening anymore. I'm going to start in the East because, Tyler, if there's one thing that I know and there's the one thing that I am sure and I will take to the grave, it's if your LeBron James is on your team, you have a chance to win a basketball game. It's absurd what this man can do on the basketball court. The Cavs go down 2-0 in the beginning of the series, and then LeBron basically goes on superhuman, super saiyan strength. In game three, he goes for 27 points, 12 assists, and 5 rebounds, but it was just an authoritative game. Last night, LeBron goes for 44 points. It's incredible of what Ty Lue can do in terms of giving LeBron the best opportunity to play. In years prior, LeBron would kind of play point forward and kind of take the ball up and kind of initiate the offense. Now he's bringing the ball up and then deferring it over and playing more of a three role, playing more of a small forward role, and just getting guys open. His court vision and his decision-making is absurd. But also, you can't discredit Boston as well. You know, Boston is playing great team basketball. You got to remember they're missing Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. They're missing their two best players. Al Horford, Gator great, is looking like if there was a playoff MVP, I think LeBron would be number one. But I would put Al Horford at number two because what he is doing and the schemes that are happening—it's crazy. It's absurd.
What's absurd to me is that Al Horford and LeBron James, who both been in the league for a long time, are somehow still playing their best basketball like ever. Well, you got to give a lot of credit to Boston on one thing, is that Boston has won several series while not having the best player.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Bucks, Giannis, whatever his last name is. I still can't say it. I'm amazed by it. I still can't say it.
And it's Giannis. It's not Giannis. It's Giannis.
Sorry, Giannis.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm pretty sure I heard Laurelist.
Okay, good. Anyway. Very topical. Very topical joke.
Giannis, and then they beat the Philadelphia 76ers in 5 games. And while the Philadelphia 76ers had Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Now, I'm going to chalk up that series to youth versus experience. And by experience, I'm talking about the coach. Because, yes, Terry Rozier is in there. He's young. Jason Tatum is young. Jaylen Brown is young. They have young players. But Brad Stevens is a basketball mastermind. Like, he is the Bill – I have a feeling he will be the Bill Belichick of basketball. Like the new era Bill Belichick of basketball, because, you know, can't disrespect Popovich and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge Brad Stevens believer too, but I gotta pump the brakes a little bit because he hasn't actually won anything yet.
Oh, agreed. But his schemes,
I think it's
are
only
so
a matter
good.
Of time.
He makes changes that are great. What he does is he maximizes Horford's potential because he knows that he's got young shooters, young wings that can stretch the floor. But what he does is he uses Horford to maximize his young players' strengths, you know? Horford is kind of like his Swiss Army knife.
Yeah,
he's using him in any way that he can. And that's why I think it'll be interesting. Game 5, going back to Boston, series tied 2-2. I got this series going to 7 games, and I look at LeBron, and I cannot wait to tell my kids. Seriously, when I watch LeBron, I'm saying I am witnessing a point. I'm getting goosebumps, and I should not be getting goosebumps. I am witnessing a point in history that is unmatchable. I don't think I will ever see a player dominate on all aspects, not defense, offensively, on all offensive aspects of the game. He passes like Jason Kidd. He shoots when he wants to shoot, because earlier on in his career he can shoot. But when he gets hot, he shoots like no other. He's physical. He makes space. My only complaint is that he travels and no one calls it. But that's another point. Superstars are going to get those calls.
He's just amazing to watch.
Yeah. We're living in a good time.
He's a freak. He's a marvel.
He is. We're living in a good time.
Yeah. I mean, you got to sometimes sit back. Like, I do that. You're not going to feel this way. Mm-hmm. But I do that. I do that occasionally with Tom Brady. But you're not going to feel this way. But it's on the very same level of, like, you know, when you really look at it, you don't ever think about it when you watch it, but like, you got to appreciate that you are seeing probably the greatest player.
Let me tell you, I feel that way as well sometimes. I do. And I don't like him, and not as a person. I just don't like him because he beats me. He's beaten me every year. Ever since I started watching football, Tom Brady has beat me, and I don't like it. But I will give him credit. I watch him, watching him in the playoffs. The thing is, there's very few players in football that I can, like, say 30 seconds with one timeout and they need a touchdown. And I go, damn, that's too much time for Brady. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I felt that way about Peyton Manning in his prime and then Tom Brady at any point. That's the thing. Brady's prime, like, isn't deteriorating. You got to remember, this is not an NFL episode, but quick side note. He had over 500 yards in the Super Bowl. He was 40 years old.
Should not be possible.
He should not. It's all that pistachio ice cream. I don't know, man.
Yeah, which goes back to, like, with LeBron James. It's just amazing that he continues to play better and better basketball the older and older he gets. And, like, he's not old by any means. But I think also it comes down to, he's learned more. But more is required of him. Mm-hmm.
Brian Windhorst had a great column or article up on ESPN earlier this year where he talked about how LeBron has kind of perfected the art of resting during games because he plays so much and he knows that the team, everything is on his shoulders, that he kind of finds spots on defense or spots when the game is getting slower to kind of not go full speed so that at the end of the second half, quarter, at the end of the game when they need him to be that Superman LeBron that he is, he can go full out and give his full effort, you know? He's kind of perfected that energy level, and that's something I really respect as well.
Yeah. It's just amazing. It's really weird, and to me, is that it's almost like when watching these two teams, what I take is that, like, Boston is better coached. Mm-hmm. I think it's the better overall roster, better overall team.
Yep.
But the Cavs have by far the best player. And it's just kind of really the only difference is whoever's playing at home court so far.
Yep, and it's great because and I'm glad you brought up home court because the thing with the Celtics is that they're, I think it's what, 8-0 at home in the postseason, and they're like 1-6 or 1-7 now on the road. Like that's a big deal. My one big thing, and I'm gonna ask you real quick, who do you have winning this before we move on to the Warriors Rockets because I want to talk about that too. Who do you have winning the series? And in how many games?
I think it goes to 7. Mm-hmm. But I think I got to go with LeBron.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cavs in 7 too. And my reasoning is that I'm going to go Celtics win game 5 at home, Cavaliers win game 6 at home, and then it's LeBron James game 7 mode.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Boston's got all those young players, and they play so much better at home than they do away. But I think that just in game 7 – there's no one else I'd rather have with the ball dribbling down the court.
Than LeBron James.
I just think that LeBron James will transcend the home court advantage in the coaching that Boston has.
Exactly. I think it's look, if this is Vegas, LeBron James is worth at least a 5-7 to 7-point swing.
So. Yep.
Quick parentheses. Do you see that sports betting constitutionally is now legal?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. A lot has happened.
I know. We missed last week, and we would have talked about that last week, but I just think it's crazy.
It's interesting to me.
I'm for it, though.
I mean, I am too.
Yeah, my only concern is that the thing is with the integrity of the sport, MLS came out with a statement saying that, like, we support the decision, but we want to make sure that we go through all the appropriate avenues to make sure the integrity of the game is not diminished. What that means is they don't want someone saying, hey, I put I'll give you $200,000 for you to throw this game. And $200,000 may not seem a lot to you, but the minimum salary for MLS players is $68,000.
Ooh.
So if you come up to a minimum salary player on an MLS roster and says, hey, here's $200,000, that can, you know what I mean? So those are my only pockets of areas. Things like maybe a long snapper, you know, will muff up a snap, you know what I mean? Or something along those lines, you know? I'm just concerned about that.
Leagues will likely put countermeasures into effect for that.
I agree.
Well, the important thing about the law is that it doesn't just automatically make sports gambling legal.
It gives states the option, right?
Yeah, states have the ability to choose now to pass legislation that allows it to be illegal. It's still illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But
nothing changes overnight.
Yeah, it can become legal soon. And right. Some states are definitely on the fast track to this. I think Florida is going to probably be one of the first to pass it, to be honest.
Florida, California.
I mean, there's so much money to be made from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I worry for the integrity of the sports too, but I feel like that's something that by the time it gets legalized, they will have figured out ways to at least severely help with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking about something I'll put my money on, the Golden State Warriors. What a transition. The Golden State Warriors.
I can't believe it's going to be Cavs Warriors again.
For the fourth time.
I feel like the crazy thing, like spoiler to who I think is going to win this series, but like the crazy thing about this is that I almost want it to be Cavs Warriors again because I almost think it would be impressive that how much changed for this NBA season
mm-hmm.
and the two best teams at the end of the season, it was still the same.
Yeah, like Kyrie left Cleveland. And they still made it. Now, granted, if Kyrie's playing for the Celtics right now, this series is over in six. And I'm saying six because LeBron wins a game for the Cavs. If not, it would have been over in five, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead. Tyler, what I did on Sunday was I went to a Buffalo Wild Wings, and I sat at the bar, and I watched this game because I wanted to just sit, isolate myself, not watching on my laptop, just be there immersed and watch the game. I was intrigued in the first half. The Rockets just weren't hitting shots. They were getting open looks. They weren't hitting shots. Chris Paul does not look healthy, dude. Chris Paul looks like he has like a hip bothering or an ankle or a calf. Something is wrong with Chris Paul. But that happened. And then everyone is like, oh, Curry's like 1-for-8 from three. Or he hasn't made a three. And I wonder what's going to happen. And then Curry said, oh, all right, bet. And just exploded in the third quarter. He finished with 35 points. But Curry proved his haters wrong, and he ended up Steph Curry, the baby-faced assassin, everyone's favorite, you know, child-looking man, someone we think that is very, very religious, very pure, makes a screams to the crowd, "This is my effing house." I was here for it. You know, you know how I feel about athletes being arrogant and talking their. You know, talking their stuff. I'm fully supportive. And there's nothing more awe. There's nothing that makes me just look in awe than Steph Curry firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
It's ridiculous because he's pulling up, and once he passes the half court line, he's literally in striking distance. I have no idea when he'll shoot, if he'll shoot, but I'm afraid. You know,
I saw this is not a tweet we share because I didn't share this with you, mm-hmm. but I saw a very good tweet that said something along the lines of this, where it was like, facing Steph Curry has got to be like fighting a bear. When you win, it's by the slimmest of margins, and you got lucky. like you just have to, like, when you're facing Steph Curry, you just have to hope that he's off.
Yeah, no, there's
and,
nothing.
And you have to play well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you lose, it's just awful.
It's ridiculous.
I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, it's amazing. I think he's the greatest shooter ever. So.
Yeah, I think he is the greatest shooter of all time. I want to inform you that game four is going on right now. They just took the first timeout. The Rockets took a timeout. There's 7 minutes left. So they've played 5 minutes, and the Warriors are up 12-0.
Oh my gosh!
It's just unfair, is what it is. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't even know. So I got the Warriors in five. They win tonight, and then they win Game Five on Thursday. I think Game Five is Thursday. Yeah, they win Game Five in Houston. And then what happens is we have a whole offseason of – well, it depends. If James Harden shows up tonight, because he was absent in Game 3, if he shows up tonight and if he shows up Game 5, then I don't think there should be any James Harden criticism. Because one big thing is that James Harden doesn't show up in the playoffs. That's one big criticism of him. But I do not think we should be putting the blame on him and unless, you know, he doesn't show up. But they're going to need 40 points tonight from him. They're going to need 40 points from Harden. They're going to need at least a double-double, if not a triple-double from Chris Paul. They're going to need Clint Capella to put up 17 points. They're going to need Aaron Gordon to put up 20. Like, they need to go off like they did in Game 2.
They got to get lucky and play well.
It's like fighting a bear.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great analogy.
It is.
I mean, I personally think that it's Warriors in six.
Okay, you give the Rockets.
This is a 60-plus win team. Rockets are a 60-plus win team, and I just feel like they're going to eke one more out.
Tyler, this is one of the greatest assembled rosters of all time. They call them – when they play the lineup of death, that's why they call it the lineup of death. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala. The Hamptons Five is what they call it.
Well, Iggy isn't playing tonight, so
– oh, okay, cool. So they have four All-Stars again and two – two, you know,
the least
MVPs.
Important one isn't playing.
And two
the
league
least
MVPs.
Important one.
You have two league MVPs in Clay and Steph and KD. You have the league's most I really don't care about anything, but I'll still drop 60 points on you player, Klay Thompson. And then you have the bodyguard of the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green, kicking and putting elbows into everyone. Doesn't matter, dude. Doesn't matter. It's a wrap. Warriors in five. It's over. I don't even want to watch Game Four. It's over. No, I'm gonna watch Game Four once we hang up here. But
I mean, me too. But like, I don't know. I just feel like they're. I mean, you were the one who was like, "You're an idiot." Warriors will sweep the Spurs, and they Spurs. So
wait, I said what now?
Well, you didn't call me specifically an idiot. Uh-huh. I made that part up. But I said Spurs would go. It was Warriors in five, in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, and I said it was a sweep.
The Spurs, and you said it was a sweep, and it was Spurs in five. They're going to eke one more out. Rockets are going to eke one more out, then they're going to get destroyed.
Honestly, though, I just – okay. That's fine. So then, wait, that leaves us with Warriors, Cavs, and I think it's going to be Warriors in five.
I mean, me too.
LeBron's going to win them one game, but, like, dude. You mean to tell me a lineup with – a roster with George Hill – J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, and Kyle Korver and LeBron James is going up against the Hamptons Five? Winning four games? No.
Four games, no.
Get out of here.
I mean, I was a little – it was interesting. One of the most pivotal moments, I think, last finals was the game that gave the Warriors a 3-0 lead. It was the first game in Cleveland.
A 3-1 lead.
Oh, was it that?
Yeah, it's the one where Kevin Durant went off.
Yeah, probably. There was one game early that was pivotal to me because the Cavaliers outplayed the Warriors the entire game as a team. Mm-hmm. And then in the final, like, 2 minutes, KD just took over.
Well,
and the Warriors won by, like, two.
Well, you know why I don't think that'll happen this year?
They don't have Kyrie Irving.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't have Kyrie Irving, who's a top 10 player in the league. Sorry. Get in my mentions, whatever you want. I'll take Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is the first – if we're only taking point guards,
he's Uncle Drew.
I'm taking Kyrie Irving. Yeah, you don't just make Uncle Drew and are trash and are not a top 10 player. I'm sorry. It's just not what happens. You make Uncle Drew, you're immediately a top 10 player. If Trevor Ariza made Uncle Drew, he'd immediately be a top 10 player. If Shea Serrano made Uncle Drew, he would be a top 10 player in the NBA.
He ain't even in the league.
You're instantly a top 10 player if you make Uncle Drew. It's like Spielberg when he – not Spielberg. It's like those filmmakers where it's like, yeah, but, like, you know, they made this movie. Like, sorry, you can do no wrong. It's like Drake. Drake made Take Care. Sorry. End of discussion. Top five. No debates. Kendrick made To Pimp a Butterfly. It's over. Like, sorry. You can't change my mind. You cannot change my mind.
That's like some actors that have just – they've just amassed so much work, just been in so many good things that it's like, it doesn't matter how many flops you're in from this point on.
Billy Bob Thornton did Bad News Bears and Bad Santa. Done.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It does not matter anymore. We're on topic now.
Last thing off topic real quick. Did you see, Kyrie Irving's handles look just as fluid in the Uncle Drew movie.
It's ridiculous.
In the trailer.
I haven't seen the movie yet. It comes out next week, right?
The movie doesn't come out, but like the trailer, he burnt one of the players. Oh, God.
It's funny. I'm excited to
see. I don't know why. It was beautiful to me.
Honestly, I'm excited to see Kyrie Irving, Shaq, and Reggie Miller on the same team.
Me too.
That's going to be fun. At that point, it's going to be Kyrie Irving. He's going to be mute. He's going to be doing his yoga, his meditation. He's going to be like, I believe that the Buddhists told us that the earth was round and they fooled us. I shout, all my flat earthers, please come and join. And you're going to have Shaq and Reggie Miller. Talking trash. Oh, man. Okay, so back to this. Warriors in – I say Warriors in five. You say Warriors in six. And then we both say
– I mean, I can see Warriors in five easily.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, Warriors in six.
Okay, cool. Well, then that's it for the NBA. We will come back to it when the finals roll around. And honestly, we'll just see if we need to talk about it, because if it's going to be a blowout, if it's going to be Warriors in five like that, maybe we'll just wait until after the series to talk about it. But we'll see. Before we move on to the NHL playoffs, Tyler, we have a recurring segment we'd like to reintroduce. Something I like to call tweets we've shared. And we're going to do things a little bit differently. Before, we just kind of read some of our favorite tweets between each other. But Tyler, you have picked two of the tweets that I sent you to go ahead and read on the show.
Correct.
So why don't you go ahead and decorate this new tradition we're doing with our recurring segments and give me the two tweets that you liked that I sent you.
Well, you'll appreciate the first one I sent you, the one that I really liked that sent me. It was sent by Sean Francis. Mm-hmm. It was a subtweet of the announcement by England of the three
with energy
parentheses, also with the budget.
Hold on, wait. Go back and and say that tweet again, because we had a little bit of technical difficulty there. Go ahead and tell me. It was a tweet by Sean Francis?
Yes, Sean Francis. This is how you announce a World Cup squad: with youth, with culture, with energy. Parentheses, also with a budget. LOL. Close parentheses.
And that is.
And it's a video.
Go ahead and tell them.
It's a video of just the England Twitter account that a bunch of like teenagers announcing the FIFA World Cup squad and squad. I mean, I didn't know any of these players' names. And it got me hype.
Did it not make you want to run through a wall?
It got me hype because it's all these people that are like, let's go. Like this, it was great.
I love that video because what it did was each of those kids, I think, were from the hometowns of where those players are from. So like there's that one segment where they like go to Manchester and they do all the players that were born in Manchester. And I think my favorite one is when they announce.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think my favorite part is when they announce Marcus Rashford, who's a 19-year-old player for Manchester United. But he's from Manchester. He's from there. And it's two kids walking down the streets of Manchester, and they go, Manchester Zone, Marcus Rashford, you're on the plane to Russia, bruv. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so pumped. It's these kids walking down the same streets, you know? He's like, put on for Manchester, Marcus. Like, that's so great. It's everything that we talk about on this show about how you love Duval and I love South Florida. It's those kids going, let's go, put on for my city. There's one where they announced Harry Kane, who today Harry Kane was announced as England's captain. Congratulations to him. And it's these kids on a bus, and they're like, what Shire's his own? There's only one Harry Kane. And I'm like, you damn right. There is only one Harry Kane. I loved it. I thought it was great. Every World Cup squad should be announced like that, with kids from their hometowns.
I agree. Uh-huh.
What is the second tweet?
The second tweet was a tweet by Bleacher Report NBA. It is the tweet itself is simply the emoji with the hand over the face and the thoughtful
the thinking, the thinking one.
Yes, and it is subtweeting a tweet by the Toronto Raptors account.
Oh my God.
This says, congrats, coach, that is subtweeting a tweet by that announced Dwayne Casey was a finalist for NBA Coach of the Year. This was tweeted after the Toronto Raptors fired one Dwayne Casey, their own coach, which they then, like, the next day congratulated for being an NBA, like, congratulated for being a finalist. But they didn't even just say, congratulations, Dwayne Casey. They said, congrats, coach, as if he was still theirs. They fired him.
That's like when you get in trouble with your parents and they send you to your room and 20 minutes later they go, hey, what do you want for dinner? And you're like, I have an option. I didn't realize what was going on here. I didn't know you liked me right now.
I always assumed that I just wasn't eating.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my Lord. That tweet is, that is peak Twitter. That's peak Twitter.
I really want to know, like, what happened? Like, who approved it? It was an intern.
It had to be an intern. Someone gave the intern
who has, like, access to somebody's, like, social media, to an organization's social media, and I could tweet whatever I wanted right now, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know some interns that are, like, totally not checked into actually what's going on. They're just kind of there. It was an intern.
This is ridiculous.
They saw it. They're like, oh my God, that's great. Let's, like, nobody else has tweeted about this. I'll tweet. Congrats to you. And here's the thing. The tweet is still up.
I know. It's not even like you can click it and it says tweet has been deleted. It's still there.
It's still there.
I think at this point, they're like, you know what? Forget it. Like, let's not rub salt in the wound. You know what would be even crazier? If when the NBA awards come out, he wins Coach of the Year. Because he's nominated.
Yeah.
He's a finalist.
Ridiculous. He has one of three finalists. It's Dwayne Casey, Quinn Snyder, and Brad Stevens.
Yeah, which I would give it to... And again, it's hard because all three really deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, if the Celtics end up winning and go to the finals, I think you got
to
give it to Brad
Stevens.
If
Brad Stevens, if the Celtics make it to the finals, it's Brad Stevens. If not, you got to realize that Snyder took together... a team, honestly, but like, how much of it was Donovan Mitchell though? Like, you're getting a generational talent, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, anyway, those were the two discussions for right now. Those were the two tweets that you picked. I'm gonna go ahead and pick two tweets that you sent me. The first one is kind of funny. The second one is open for a little bit of discussion. First one is by the official Bleacher Report account. And it is two pictures. It's two screenshots. It's a screenshot of Jalen Ramsey quoting a Buffalo Bills tweet. The Bills originally tweeted, Josh Allen's first snap as a Buffalo Bills, hashtag go Bills. Jalen Ramsey quoted it and said, that's a pick waiting to happen. And then another picture of Gordon.
My cornerback.
Oh, I know. That did your cornerback. Of Jalen Ramsey with the three crying laughing emojis and then saying, I'm a chill. And then they said, tell them how you really feel.
I mean, I was so happy.
I'm ecstatic. I'm so, so happy about that.
The entire Jacksonville Jaguars defense, mm-hmm. and the whole team, is the all-chirp team for the NFL.
You know what? I kind of wish
Jalen Ramsey is the captain.
Oh, 100%. I kind of wish you guys played in the AFC East because I want to see that twice a year.
We play the Buffalo Bills.
This year?
Yeah, because we play the AFC East. That's our crossover.
Circle it. Bookmark it right now.
And we're going to Buffalo.
Appointment viewing.
It is late in the season. We're going to pick him off. We're going to pick Josh Allen off at least three times.
Oh, it's going to be
Book
great.
Book it. Mark the tape.
That's going to be great. And Jalen Ramsey is going to have two of those three picks. It's going to be great.
Well, what I love about this tweet, too, is that it just kind of confirms that Josh Allen is not viewed very highly by actual NFL players. Like, actual NFL players who play are like, why was this guy drafted in the top 10?
It's ridiculous.
Which just confirms everything that we've been saying.
It's like that meme of, I think it's Waka Flocka, where it's like, okay. That's how every NFL player feels about him. Like, really? Okay. All right. The next tweet is by Kevin Van Valkenburg. He tweets, well, first of all, it's a quote tweet of Charles LaRocca tweeted, what's your most biased sports opinion that you think is true no matter what? And then Kevin Van Valkenburg quotes it and says, Michael Jordan convinced an entire generation of sports fans and athletes that greatness had to be a joyless, obsessive, faux alpha corporate endeavor that required humiliating opponents, and 90% of bad sports takes can be traced back to people treating it as gospel. I have never resonated with a sports tweet more in my life.
This was a tweet that when I saw it, like, I immediately sent it to you. And I was,
yes.
Like, it was the first thing I did. And I was just like, because I never heard of it put that way, and it makes perfect sense to me.
Because we all think, at least, well, I don't want to say we all, but I know you and I think this, where Jordan was so hungry, so obsessed with not only winning, but embarrassing you. Jordan wanted to cross you over and go by you and laugh at you as he dunked over your teammate. He is the definition of having no chill on the basketball court, and in turn, in other sports. Because Jordan is this relic, is Jesus Christ himself in the sports world, for basketball for sure, but his influence on other
Athletes in general. Yeah, just athletes
exactly.
In general.
Athletes in general, and even on other professions. As an actor, if I blow someone out of the water, I'm on my full Jordan mode. I'm like, yeah, of course, I'm the greatest. I am that, you know? He brought that whole confidence, arrogance thing to sports. But the fact that that was his only thing, that's why, and this is a good segment into going into the whole LeBron versus Jordan conversation, because Jordan, yes, Jordan is the best athlete. Jordan went 6-for-6 in the finals. He had, I think it's 6 NBA, finals MVPs, 3 NBA MVPs, undoubtedly one of the most clutch players of all time. But LeBron is more of a full-fledged human, you know? Like, when you look at Jordan, you can trace him back to, oh yeah, that man won everything. But LeBron has undefeated, his clutch sports motive. He's a part owner in Liverpool. He's endorsing in all of these things. He's got his hand on all these businesses he wants to make. Do you know that LeBron James owns, his company owns the rights to the Space Jam 2 film, right? They own the rights to that. Like, they have the right to produce it. It's insane.
I didn't know that.
I'm sorry?
I didn't know that it was because he owned it.
Yeah, because he owns the production company that owns those rights.
That's crazy. Clutch, I mean,
LeBron's talent agency, Clutch Sports, is technically run by his best friend, and they have tons of athletes. LeBron himself, Tristan Thompson, Ben Simmons is a Clutch athlete. Like, he is diversifying himself in so many different ways that he's becoming the true sports mogul, I think. You know?
I would agree.
So, it's very interesting, and a very interesting way. I feel like that's why a lot of, I don't want to say the old heads, but I think like a lot of sports fans are still saying, no, Jordan is better than LeBron, because Jordan breathed, ate, slept, did everything with winning. LeBron has a bigger outlook on life, you know? So.
Yeah, I feel like my thing with that is that it just like, it inspired this, take it as gospel. Mm-hmm. Is that so much of like an older generation is like, and especially like my dad, I was talking to my dad, we were watching the last Cavs Celtics game, and he was talking about how like, so the whole, I never talked to him about it before, and he's like, the whole Jordan LeBron James debate, and I was talking about it, and I'm like, well yeah, like LeBron James is greatest player on the planet, and you know, talking about the whole debate and everything, and my dad was just like, I can't express to you, Tyler, how much better Jordan was like watching play basketball. That's what my dad said.
My dad has said that too.
And it was like, I can't, it's part of it comes from like, I never saw him play. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the way that his generation kind of inspired, that's like, I think he kind of inspired the whole, like, you got to stick to your business. You got to just dominate on the field. Like, don't talk about anything else off the field. It's all sports. It's kind of, it's kind of the stick to sports thing.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And that's not the way that LeBron is. And like LeBron, to me, the thing about LeBron is that like Michael Jordan's fun to watch, but LeBron James, when I watch him, it like he puts the fun into it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I feel like I don't know.
Well, Jordan until later on in his career, Jordan could have. The only reason Jordan decided to start passing and go for triple doubles and assists and rebounds was because everyone said, oh, he's a ball hog. He's just a scorer. So he was so competitively driven to say, I'm going to prove to them that that's not the player I am, that he did those things. The difference between him and LeBron there is that LeBron innately just wants to make his teammates better. He's not doing it so that the perception of himself is changed. He's doing it because he wants to win and he knows that it's a team game, you know?
Yeah.
It's the Russell Westbrook thing. Westbrook is one of the most athletic players of any sport that I have ever seen. And when I play basketball, I want to play like Westbrook. If I want to play, if there's a player that I kind of want myself to play like, it's Westbrook. I want to shoot. I want to pass. I want to go out. I want to dominate. I want, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
LeBron takes it to another level. And like, I understand when they say Jordan was significantly better than LeBron, but I can't understand that because I look at LeBron and he's doing so many different things so well that I can't knock it. Now, I think it's appropriate to say that, yes, there's greatest players in different generations. LeBron is the greatest player of our generation, of what we're watching. Jordan was the greatest player of his era, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate there. Because, yeah, you throw LeBron in the 1960s, he's going to dominate. You throw LeBron in the 90s, he's going to dominate because he's physically just a different specimen. And there's technological advances, health advances, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And it's just, I think what's interesting is there is something to be said that we are all having all these conversations while LeBron's career is still, mm-hmm. you know, going.
And it's been happening for a few years now.
Yeah. And I feel that we're really going to, I really want to revisit this. Like, I can't wait to revisit this when his career is eventually over.
I want to revisit it like a couple years after he retires. Like,
I want to see the impact.
Exactly. I want to see how many players come up. It's the whole Steph impact, the whole, you know, kids playing like Steph because they want to shoot threes and stuff. How many people come to the league and want to be like LeBron?
Probably a lot.
Because everyone wants to be like Jordan. You look at Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons develops a jump shot, it's over.
Yep.
Ben Simmons will be the next greatest player of his era at that point.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, it's just like how we're only now catching on to this whole thing with Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. It's we're gonna have to wait, I think, until a couple of years after LeBron's to see what his impact is. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to analyze that later.
Yeah, me too. Last thing, did you see that ESPN is doing a 30 for 30 on Michael Jordan? It's gonna be 10 hours long.
I did.
I'm excited.
LeBron's gonna come out with a 11-hour one.
Hopefully, and then Kobe comes out with a 12-hour one.
He's gonna one-up it.
Yeah, and then Kobe tries to one-up everyone. All right, cool. So that has been Tweet Shared. I'm so happy we brought that back. I like this. We're going to do this every week. Maybe we'll lower it to one tweet a week. Maybe 2 weeks.
Well, we did miss 2 weeks.
Okay, boom. There we go. That's our justification. Let's go ahead and move on to the ice. Let's go ahead and do that hockey. Let's do that hockey. We have the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals. Well, let me rephrase that. We have only the Western Conference Finals, or the Eastern Conference Finals left. In the Western Conference, the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Tyler, you ready for this right here? The Las Vegas Golden Knights beat the Winnipeg Jets to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals.
In their first year.
In their first year, Tyler.
They didn't have a team 12 months ago.
They did it in 5 games.
Also, a first-year team from... Yeah, and a first-year team from America beat a team from Canada in 5 games.
America.
Yeah.
Now, once again, I just think this is cool because it's an expansion thing.
I think it's awesome.
I love it. And especially after what they went through in Vegas with the shooting and stuff, I'm very
happy. They dedicated their season to that.
Good. Very, very good. And it's paid off. And they're getting there.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk much. Now, we're not going to talk much hockey because I know
they're fun to watch is the thing, too.
Yeah, exactly. I saw game 4, I think it was. I think I saw game 4. Because one thing is the basketball games and the hockey games are on at the same time. So it's a little bit more difficult. But this is my attempt. This is my genuine attempt to try to move and be better with hockey. The Vegas Golden Knights advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they will be playing either the Washington Capitals or the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, I think as Floridians, we would prefer the Lightning.
Oh, you mean our Lightning?
Our Lightning, exactly. Just are we just gonna pick a team on that we just are not actual fans of and then hop on there like our Ramblers? Now we're doing our Lightning.
Yes, every season.
Wonderful. I'm here for this.
I actually, so like, I'm torn with this. Mm-hmm. So like, I was rooting for Vegas so hard. I'm so happy for them. They're so fun to watch. They're such a quick team. Mm-hmm. Their goalie, Marc-Andre Fleury, is just insane. But I kind of like, I'm torn because part of me wants the Lightning to lose the Eastern Conference Finals because I love the Lightning and I love the Knights. And if they play each other, I'm going to be happy one way or the other, but I kind of just like, I want to pick a team and that'll be difficult, but that being said, that can outride my Florida passion.
Mm-hmm. See, no, that cannot outride my Florida passion. But I think what's cool is Wednesday, tomorrow night, Tyler, what are the two greatest words in sports?
Game 7.
I love me some Game 7. So Wednesday, Game 7 in Tampa. Washington is going to be playing Tampa. I'm excited. I saw Game 6 yesterday.
Game 6, yeah.
And it just looked like the Lightning just weren't sharp. Like, and take this, I'm not a hockey guy yet. I'm going to be one day. But it just looked like they weren't sharp, you know? They didn't move properly. And when they had the puck, it kind of like fiddled out. It looked like their line changes came at weird times.
Yeah, I've talked to some people who are more knowledgeable about the hockey than me. But I think what really comes down to is of the three teams left, mm-hmm. they each have significant traits. Vegas is an extremely quick team; they're very speed oriented. The Capitals are an extremely physical team with Ovechkin, who's like their star, mm-hmm. one of the stars of the league, and they're very physical, which was
TJ Oshie, right? TJ Oshie.
Well, the Capitals, the thing with the Capitals is that they're extremely physical, and that's part of that gave Tampa a lot of fits. Because Tampa's trait is that they don't really have any traits. They have a really good goalie, and they're just kind of a good team.
Mm-hmm.
My friends described to them kind of like the New England Patriots, if you take out the Tom Brady part. I can't believe I'm making so many Patriots references. But he said that like they're just kind of well coached.
We need to cap your Patriots references.
I'm sorry. Okay, this is the last one. But they've got one superstar player, their goalie, Vasilevskiy.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them, they're like, it's not super special, but they're just a lot of good, disciplined players.
So I guess what you could say is it's more like the Celtics.
Yeah, that's a better term without
Kyrie and Hayward.
That's a fantastic term. They're just well coached. They're just a good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally all you can put next to their description. Good. Like they don't really have traits.
Right.
And that's so early on the Capitals took advantage of them because they got really physical, and then Tampa was able to turn that around. But the Lightning did not look good in Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to go home to Tampa for Game 7. I mean, it's fine. They gave up in Game 6 just because they wanted to.
They really did. Man. Halfway through the second period, I was like, "Ooh!" Once the second goal hit in the third, there were 10 minutes left in the game, and they were down 2, and they were like, "You know what? Let's just not get injured. Let's not."
We'll just clinch with our fans. It'll be a party in Tampa.
Let's ride it out.
So, who do you think wins Game 7?
It honestly depends on Ovechkin, I think. If Ovechkin shows up and he plays the way that he played this last game in Game 6, then I think Washington has a shot. And I think also if Tampa has the effort that I know they have, then they can win. You know, I'm hoping for Tampa. I'm going all Florida here. I'm gonna go Tampa. I know for a fact.
I'm gonna go with Tampa too, but I think. What?
I know for a fact I'll be watching it, and then I'll transfer over to the Cavs Celtics game after, because you know Game 7 takes priority.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the move.
I mean, I think it's gonna be Tampa. I actually think it's gonna be pretty decisive.
Really?
I do because the weird thing about this series is that whatever team has won has felt like a vastly superior team in every game.
Mm-hmm.
There was one game where the Capitals kind of had a shot to tie it up. One or two games where that happened when the Lightning won those games. Mm-hmm. But the entire time, the entire game, the Lightning just looked better. And every Capitals win, the Capitals just looked better.
Right.
So I don't – I mean, it might be kind of close, but I feel like whatever team wins will look better the whole time.
Yeah, I think
the Lightning are going to win. I think they're a better team overall.
I think the important thing to watch in this game is the first 10 minutes. Whichever team looks more confident, whichever team is controlling the game in the first 10 minutes will win the series.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Look at us making educated hockey decisions.
Educated.
I don't know any of the players' names yet. I don't know. I still am confused about a few rules, but hey, you know what? At least I can make a little decision and stuff. I find myself when I'm watching hockey thinking, "Oh, pass it here," but I'm thinking I'm thinking like a soccer player, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, "Oh, if this comes like this, then this player should move into this space like a soccer player," but I got to realize that it's not soccer. You know?
Yeah, I'll go on a limb and say like a close playoff hockey game is probably it has probably one of the highest levels of anxiety I've ever felt watching sports.
Tyler, I have high anxiety to begin with, and watching that Lightning game yesterday when it was a one goal game, I had me freaking out. I'm getting anxious right now. I can't talk about it.
it's crazy. I mean, it's weird because like one of them, it's kind of like it is a lot like soccer, but just general physics
mm-hmm.
just makes it different.
Well, the fact that you're always so close to scoring makes it that way. You know,
yeah.
I only get super nervous in soccer and stuff towards the end of the game, or like if there's significant attacks, you know, and you're in the 18, you're in that attacking third. But hockey, it's dude, you're right there. One missed pass and a guy can break away and score.
It's crazy because it's so easy to get to the other side.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And because like that's the thing in soccer, it's like there are, you know, kind of limits to, you know, how fast you can get down there.
Mm-hmm.
But in hockey, it's crazy. Nice. I think that it's going to be good.
So we both have Tampa.
Both have Tampa.
Okay, and then in a theoretical Tampa Vegas Stanley Cup final, who do you have? I'll go first. I'm going to go with Tampa because I'm just going to go with Homer. It's my first time really actually watching the playoffs completely. I'm just going to go with Tampa. I'm going to hope they go. Hope they win.
I'm going to go with Tampa too because I do think that first year magic will kind of run out.
Mm-hmm. Or does it?
And also Tampa. I mean, that's true. Mm-hmm. If Tampa gets to that point, they will be the higher seed. So they will have the home court advantage.
Home,
with the way that the map will work out.
Home ice. Tyler, not home court, home ice.
Home ice? What am I thinking? Silly me.
All right. Well, that was our take and recap of the NHL playoffs. We'll be back more. This one we'll talk a little bit more. Maybe next week we'll talk about the Game 7. Wednesday's Game 7, and then seeing if there's a Game 1 or 2 of the finals, then we'll talk about those as well. Tyler, I want to close every single one of our weeks, every episode, with an official moment of the week. You get a moment of the week, and I get a moment of the week. I think it's a good way to put a little bow on every one of our episodes. It's going to be a nice recurring segment that we have. Now, you went first with tweets we've shared. You want me to go first with moment of the week?
Yes.
Okay. My moment of the week. Sunday, the New York Red Bulls, it's a soccer-related one. New York Red Ooh. Bulls played Atlanta United, and in the 70th minute, Kamar Lawrence went down with a scary injury. A scary injury where he went wrong. It looked like a spinal thing. He, like, couldn't move. They had to cart him off, put him in, like, a protective thing, and get him out of there. It was very scary. It took, like, 10, 15 minutes to get him off the field. It was rough. As he's going off on the stretcher, Jesse Marsh, his coach, is running. I mean, not jogging or walking, running to meet him at the tunnel and gives him a couple words and says, "Hey, buddy, you okay? What's going on about?" And then Kamar Lawrence picks up his thumb and gives a thumbs up to the crowd and to his coach, Jesse Marsh. So it was nice to see him move. And I just think it was a nice detail. It was a nice way to say, "Hey, listen. Yes, we're playing sports. Yes, we're very competitive. But at the end of the day, we got to realize that we're all here for each other. and health is more important than anything. You know, the fact that everyone, that Atlanta Stadium stood and applauded him and making sure he's wishing he's okay. But the fact that Marsh ran all the way down to check on his player just shows to me the heart and the class and how close that locker room is, you know, and he is to his players. So with that being said, I fully support Jesse Marsh for the next U.S. national team head coach. not only is he – no, he's in serious consideration, but, like, that to me, not only is he good tactically on the field, and I think he's what we need for the national team, but just that kind of class and that connection to the players is something that I think we really need now. So that's my moment of the week.
Very, 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 very nice. Very
thank
nice.
You, thank you.
My moment of the week kind of covers something that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. My moment of the week is just the moment seeing the moment when the Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights, they won.
They clinched when they clinched to the.
They clinched and they went to the and they clinched the Stanley Cups, and just seeing that energy,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of just seeing that history.
Yeah,
because that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I mean, there are expansion teams in the NHL that haven't even made it to the Stanley Cup yet.
Mm-hmm. Panthers made it to the have made it to the playoff once in the past like 15 years.
Yeah, and I just think and just the atmosphere of the place. Did you see how they open the games?
Oh yeah, they have like an
archer.
Yeah,
and they have like a castle in the arena. It's amazing. Crazy. And just seeing Ching history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, seeing history. I like that.
That was cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a bonus moment.
Bonus moment?
Larry Culpepper is no more.
Oh, RIP to a legend.
RIP.
To the GOAT. Oh.
I can't believe it.
Larry Culpepper is the Dr. Pepper guy. Get your eyes cold, Dr. Pepper. Yeah? That's him. That's Larry Culpepper.
It sucks.
It's the end of
an era. Next thing they know, they're gonna get rid of the Heisman House commercials.
Stop it!
I can't. I would riot.
Stop it! Sideline Judgment would turn into an anti whoever is in charge of that podcast.
Nissan.
Anti Nissan podcast. Anti Dr. Pepper right now because they got rid of our boy Larry.
Dr. Pepper's trash anyway, so.
Ooh, I wouldn't say that, but okay.
It's trash to me.
It is now.
It's trash to me now.
Tyler, that's been another episode of Sideline Judgment.
Correct. It has. It's been a good one.
It was nice catching up. It was nice getting those 2 weeks of content into this one episode. We will be talking more about the lovely sports that you all love next week. Please be on the lookout. We're going to do a World Cup preview episode the Monday before the World Cup starts. It's going to happen, Tyler.
I'm excited.
And it's going to be a World Cup for people who only watch soccer every 4 years. Episode. So you don't have to know the intricacies of why a 4-2-3-1 is my preferred formation. I'm just going to tell you the teams to look out for, the storylines to look out for, the players to look out for, and who I think will be taking the trophy back home. So keep an eye out for that.
You can talk a little bit of strategy. I think that would be I would like to learn that.
I will. I'll talk some strategy. It'll be nice. It'll be a good time.
I know a little bit. I'll know a little bit of lacrosse strategy, so I'll blend it together.
There you go. Yeah, some teams will. I'll need to talk about some kind of strategy.
Got it.
Good teams. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we are not biased, but go Gators.
Go Gators and go Lightning.
And go Lightning. Florida for the win.
Florida for the win.